Hi, everybody, and welcome. I'd like to say welcome back because I'm Shangela. You don't always come back, so I'm used to returns. And I'm returning to your ear pods, to your radios, to your car stereos, to wherever you are listening to me. You may be in the bathroom right now. Hallelujah. Good for you. I'm thrilled because thrilled is a small word. I want to say living, all caps, as if I would write it. I am living today because here on the podcast, I've got one of, adjectives that I would use to describe this person: effervescent, bubbly, beautiful, talented, intelligent, and knows how to wear a set of locks, baby. Okay, please put your hands together, but I can't see you. So in my mind, you're putting your hands together right now for the one and only Yvette Nicole Brown.
Oh my God, that was an amazing introduction. Can I just tell your listeners, wherever you guys are, in the bathroom, at work, how pretty Shangela is? Face gorgeous, skin shining and beautiful.
Now, you are just sweet.
Looking just like sunshine.
Ran in.
You did run in. A little late. Just a little, about a minute late.
Two minutes. And I was watching every minute. I thought I could squeeze in an appointment at my esthetician because I've been on the road.
Is that why your skin looks that good?
Yeah, I came from Morgan. Morgan Gonzalez, honey. He laid me on that table and he was spraying me with rose water. I told him, baby, I got to get up. Listen, I got to go to Yvette.
Not a blemish, not a pore. Do you understand?
Don't get too close.
Gorgeous. No, I'm looking at you. I'm sitting right with you looking at you. You look good.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. But you know what? I'm very excited that you carved in some time to come and chat with me because I have so many questions.
Oh, yay.
Because you have such an illustrious career working here in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about somebody with beautiful skin and baby face. She gonna have the nerve to tell me, y'all, when I walked in, "Ooh, I'm so glad you didn't come in all glammed up." And she's sitting over here looking like 16-year-old prom diva, ready to go.
I did the best I could because I didn't know if you would come with the full beat. Now, you know you're gorgeous. You're gorgeous with or without it. But I'm like, if he comes in here with this full beat, I'm gonna be in trouble. So let me put at least a mascara or something out.
Well, you are mascara'd and
thank
you look
you,
beautiful.
Honey. Thank you.
And you've just continued to work. You've actually had, and forgive me if I get any numbers wrong, because you know I'm more scientific fish and less mathematical.
Understood.
But about a 30-year career in Hollywood. Is that about right?
No, I wish it was that long, because that means I would have started at a younger age. I'm about 23 years in.
Okay,
on
great.
On camera, about 23 years in.
When you first came in, let's go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're from Cleveland, Ohio area. Yes. Okay, Midwest do it best. Yes. I performed actually at a club
Did
in
you?
Cleveland called Bounce Nightclub.
Why does that sound familiar? How long ago was it?
It was probably like 5 years ago.
Okay.
But they had a great club there and I went there and performed. I've also performed in Akron before.
That's where I went to college. University
what?
Of Akron.
I was at Interbelt. Club Interbelt in Akron, Ohio.
Yes.
And speaking of, so when you were there, okay, take me back growing up, were you an introverted person? Because you are so extroverted to me right now.
Yeah.
Who is Yvette Nicole
You
Brown?
Know what? I really am an introvert, which surprises people. And I think people think that introvert means shy, and that's not what it is. Introvert just means how you recharge. Extroverts recharge with people. Introverts recharge alone. So if I do something like Comic-Con, where it's like a sea of humanity, I am in fetal position on my couch for a week, not answering the phone, not getting the mail. Like, I just need some alone time. But so I'm very introverted, but I'm an introvert that likes people. So you can't really tell that I would much rather be by myself because I'm like, oh, look at him. Look at her. Like, I'm so excited to see people. So that's
why. Were
you
like that in high school as well?
Yeah, I was kind of, I was a class clown. I also was very nerdy. I've always been very nerdy. And I've never thought nerdiness was bad. I thought it was kind of, it made you unique, it made you special, and it made you work a little harder to find your tribe. You know, I think a lot of young people buy into the idea of who's cool based on the quote-unquote cool people saying you're cool. They like christen people, it's you. I decided, why do they get to decide? I'm gonna get with these other misshapen, acne-having, gap-toothed people, and we gonna be the cool kids. And so I found like my own crew of people that were just misshapen and crazy looking like me, and we welcomed everybody. Like, everybody was cool, could hang with us, could sit at our table. And so I was very friendly and polite and kind, and I hope that that's what I've taken out into the world, because life is hard.
Yes.
And I don't want to be the reason that it's hard for somebody. I want to be a soft place to land wherever I go. So I'm very, you know, welcoming. Like, if I see someone sitting by themselves, I'm the one that goes, because sometimes you're by yourself because you like being by yourself.
Yes.
So I go in and go, you good? And if they look like they're not good, I'm going to sit with you for a little while, make sure you're okay. So that's the person that I am.
Y'all take that away. Take that with y'all, okay? Because being a congenial, nice person goes so much. And it's not only great for other people. It's also great for you.
It's good for you. It's like a heart hug for yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And then you rolled out of Cleveland and said, I'm going to Akron. I'm going to college.
I did.
You majored in communications there.
I did.
Did you ever study? When did you decide you wanted to be an actress then? What led you to Hollywood?
I wanted to be a singer. I actually didn't start off wanting to be an actress. I had a record deal when I was a teenager. I was signed to Motown Biff 10 with Michael Bivins.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Record deal?
I had a record deal.
At
a very young age.
Professional. Yes. Okay, keep walking me through.
Yeah, so I thought that's what I would do. And so, idiot me, naive, I was very naive, and I thought, well, if you already know how to sing, you don't have to study music. And if you already have an affinity for acting, you don't have to study acting. Like I said, naivete, because you can always perfect your craft. You can always get better at your craft. So I chose communications. I'm like, well, I can at least be a journalist or a talk show host or something if music doesn't work and if acting later doesn't work. So music didn't work. So I segued over into acting, and you know, it's been a nice little run. I'm shocked, but yeah, that's why. And also, I want to say I wanted to go to Howard, and I got into Howard. Even got housing at Howard. So those in the 90s that went to Howard understand how hard it was to get housing. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, oh, it's too far away. You can't go. And so that's one of my greatest regrets. I love my alma mater. I love University of Akron, but I wanted to go to HBCU.
How far is D.C. from
Cleveland?
Cleveland?
I mean, maybe a 2 or 3 hour flight. But okay, we didn't have the money for flights.
Right.
And she worked full time and couldn't drive to get me. So her thought was, if something catastrophic happens to you or you're in trouble, I can't get to you and you can't get to me. So she wanted me to go to a state school for that reason. So if I had to list the one regret, my big regret in life is that I never went to Howard.
But while you were there at the University of Akron, you still found your tribe.
I did.
I read that you joined your sorority.
I did.
AKA Alpha Kappa Alpha,
yes,
right?
I did.
All Ski-Wee in the
Come
building.
Come on now. You know about that Ski-Wee. Yes,
I
sir. Did.
You know, listening to your story, I went to SMU in Dallas, and I also majored in corporate communications and PR. Do you feel that your degree and what you studied, that you funneled that into your career as a short-lived singer as well as an actress?
I do, because I feel like, don't you feel like it's kind of wax on, wax off? Like there's like the Karate Kid. There's things that you learn in throughout life, not just in communications, but if you pay attention, there are things that you learn that you don't realize it's going to be something great. Usually it's drudgery. It's stuff you don't want to do that is teaching you something that you're going to use later. And so a lot of my communication skills and things I learned as a studying journalism and stuff in college, I now use that. I use that on Twitter every day. I'm a critical thinker. I'm very careful about what I say. I think people think when I tweet that I just say whatever I want. Oh, there's a lot of drafts. There's a lot of drafts because I like to keep my job. So I have to make sure that I thread the needle. I have to tell the truth without being offensive or being completely rude. And those are things that you learn in journalism and how to speak your mind and say your point without completely showing all your cards. So
yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that when I was, even after season 2 of Drag Race, I was on Drag Race and I was the first one voted out.
I know.
Oh, girl, we're going to talk about you and your Drag Race relationships too. But I remember after season 2 and I was the first one to go, but no one knew that I was the first one to go between the promotion time and when the show came on. So I started like calling clubs, pitching myself, anything that I would do, I would write up my own press release.
Yep.
I'd switch my email address up and be sending it out to different press outlets.
Be your own assistant. Like, be totally your own PR person. Yeah.
And I think my one regret, I think if I were to go back, would be to take more business classes.
I've thought about doing that now. Like I thought about going back and getting some business courses because it really is helpful.
Well, you talked about being naive at some times about the business. Are there any hard lessons that you had to learn that you either wish you didn't or you would advise other people to learn more about? Anything that happened, you know, in these 23 years that you said, I wish I would have known, but now I know you won't get me again.
Yeah, you know what I would say? The first thing, and this is just for people that are afraid, you know, I wish I would have got in sooner. Like when you said 30 years, I'm like, I wish I would have done it like, you know, when I was still in college or whatever, like really gone for it. So I think not being afraid, I think an important thing, I'm going to do this as an advice thing more than cautionary tale. Realize that most people are not even thinking about you like that. I think we think that we're being judged more than we're being judged. Most people are so terrified of what other people think of them that they're not even taking the time to think about you. So mm-hmm. while you're sitting at home worried about, do they like my hair, my thighs, my whatever, they ain't thinking about you. So be you, take who you are out in the world and let them have it. Cautionary tales. Because I grew up poor, I've always been very good with money, saving it. I understand how precious it is when you have it. So,
hallelujah on that, girl.
Come on now.
Go ahead.
If you had it and not had it, you know. So I live below my means, and I always tell people to do that. Like, if you listen to the Hollywood or society's way, you be Louis Vuittoned out. You know, mm-hmm. you Gucci'd out. And that's nice. It's nice to treat yourself, but you need to still eat and have a roof over your head. So you have to make sure that you never spend all that you have and that you save more than you get. More than you spend, you save. So
I'm going to come back on that and repeat behind Miss mm-hmm. Yvette Nicole Brown in here, who just told y'all, save the coins. Okay,
save.
Because and this is a lady who is very coined up. Trust me, okay.
I've
gone through all the IMDs and the B's. She is coined up, y'all. So you have to learn to live below your means,
yes,
and not be confused by what you know we see on television,
yeah,
and on Instagram.
Because they don't have it either, though. That's the thing that I think people don't realize. Just because you see someone driving a Benz or you see someone in a mansion, it doesn't mean they own it. You know, we all can rent a Benz for a day mm-hmm. or a few hours for a shoot. And honestly, okay, you got a Benz. What is that? How's your heart? How you treat people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you decent? You know what I mean? What's your spiritual life like? You know, have you met God? Like, there's a lot of different things that are a better descriptor of who you are and how you're walking through life than just if you got a Louis Vuitton purse. Like, good for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we have to get out of the mindset of other things defining us, other people defining us, our status in life defining us. We are more than those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the desire to be balling out of control is what gets most of us in trouble. It's that need to keep up with the Joneses, and I'm the flyest person. And now what? Will you get a cookie for being the flyest? You get a cookie? There's nothing. What? It's vapor. It's not real. This is real. This conversation, this is what's real, right?
Yes,
not
it
the
is.
Things.
Oh, I'm like a sponge. I feel like Monet Exchange and her sponges. Ooh, I'm soaking it up, girl.
But you know this, though. You know this. Your spirit is right. I met you years ago. You have never changed. Your heart has always been good. You get this.
Thank you.
We just need more people to get it and hold it and believe it. Because also, someone can say this to you, and if you don't let it sink in, if it doesn't get to the marrow of the bone, the first time something comes up and makes you feel less than, you're going to snap right back to being that person. And you got to realize there's more to you than the exterior and what you put out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and also important, your tribe, the people that you have around you, they need to be pouring in good. If most of your friends gossiping and being crazy, that ain't your tribe.
Right.
Or it shouldn't be your tribe. You got to go higher.
Yes.
You got to go higher. You should be edifying and encouraging each other and other people. It's not just love for your tribe. You love other people too. Everybody ain't out to get you, and you shouldn't be out to get everybody.
Yes. And you know, I appreciate that. And I think that, listeners, I want you to hear all this. There are so many good things being dropped today. Ooh, I'm so thankful.
Me too.
You talked about being defined.
Yeah.
And how we are sometimes defining how we have to define ourselves. Working in Hollywood, mm-hmm. you know, Hollywood has gone on kind of a journey mm-hmm. of understanding how to write for, how to accept, be receptive to, mm-hmm. how to understand people of different communities and diversity
mm-hmm.
and people from different backgrounds,
yes.
whether it's black or gay.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, mm-hmm. did you ever come across an instance where you had to say, wait a minute, that's not how I'm defined. I'm going to define me.
Yeah. You know, I think that all of us that are the others,
mm-hmm.
right, in this industry and in this world, we have to constantly go, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because it's very dangerous to let someone that has not walked your path tell you who you are. It's even more dangerous for them to tell other people who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I notice on Twitter, or if people notice on Twitter, the only time I rise up in defense of myself is if someone comes for my character. You can say whatever you want. Maybe I'm not cute to you. Maybe I'm too fat for you. Maybe I'm not successful enough for you. That's fine. That's all subjective. But the fact that I love people and I'm a decent person, that is not subjective. That
mm-hmm.
My character is good. My reputation in this industry and in the world is good. So when someone comes for that, then I will rise up. The rest of it, you know, it doesn't really matter. And that's why I tell people all the time, you know, who you are when you take off the drag, you take off your makeup, I peel my lashes off at night and I look in the mirror, I have to like that chick. That chick has to be awesome to me and to the world. Like, we're never just about ourselves. If your world is centered just on you and what works for you and what helps you, you're doing it wrong. Because I think people forget that we only have a certain amount of time here.
Yes.
To do anything, right? People get it in the sense of, I got a certain amount of time to get these coins. You ain't taking none of them coins with you when you go. This experience that we're all having here is about more than fame and fortune. And it's even about more than love. Like, it's bigger than that. It's not just love in your sphere. What are you giving out to everybody? What are you leaving? Only the good stuff you leave is what's going to last. The rest of it is just, like I said, I always say it's vapor. That's my favorite thing. It's the rest is vapor.
Yes.
Once you figure out what really matters, the rest really is vapor. But it's like we all in this matrix and we all like trying to, we're climbing, not even paying attention to where we're climbing to and whose neck we stepping on to get to the next rung. Like, why? For what?
Do you find that there is, that the level of, I want to say stiff competition, but almost ruthless competition in a way, especially amongst, you know, the market of, that used to be a lot smaller, but it continues to grow now, of people of color or black actresses or actors. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that there used to be or still is a strong, this thing about competition amongst the actresses?
I think that there is if you buy into it. I've never bought into it. Like, I always feel like when I first started, there were not a lot of chubby black girls working, right? Or I won't even say chubby. I'll say curvy and full and regular size. That's what it is.
Come on.
There weren't a lot of us working. It was one or two. But at any time, if Queen Latifah's working, or Sherry Shepherd's working, or the curvilicious Niecy Nash is working, guess what? That role that just came out, they can't get it because they working. So I used to pray for their success.
Yes,
like,
hey.
I really pray. Ooh, come on, bless. Ooh, bless Dana, Lord. Bless her real good. Ooh, let Sherry shine, Lord. Because in blessing them and them rising, then that left some little breadcrumbs down there for me. But the real reality of it is, I'm not going to miss anything God has for me on this planet. Neither will you, neither will Mackenzie, neither will anyone that's listening to this podcast. Whatever is supposed to be yours, you will have. Now, if you get nasty and dirty and start stepping on people's necks, then God's like, well, now I got to keep it from you. Mm-hmm. Now you will always be fighting and struggling to get ahead because you don't realize where your source is. And this is not, let me be very clear, this is not about religion because we all know what religion does. I will say this about who Christ is for anybody that's listening. He's love. Mm-hmm. We're done. All that rest of that stuff that you hear about what people say God is, that's not, God is love. So if you are claiming Christ, but you don't love, if you are claiming Christ yet you condemn, that ain't him. So I'm going to say that first. So anytime you guys hear me talk about God or Christ in this podcast, it's about love, not that other mess. Just so everybody know they can stay in here with me.
Hallelujah.
And know that it's all right.
I can follow that one. Good
exactly,
old hallelujah.
100%.
Yes.
So I just feel like if you're lined up with your purpose, because we're all these spiritual beings having an earthly experience. If you line up with that, then you realize that I'm gonna have everything I'm supposed to have. There ain't no need to worry. Now I need to be prepared. I need to know my craft. I need to beat my face when it's time to beat my face. Like, you show up. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. But there's not this cage fight for success that they trick us into thinking exists. I think it's a myth. When I find out about an audition, I call my friends that look like me and I go, girl, they looking for us.
Yes.
Get on down to John Smith casting on Burbank Avenue, and this is what the sides are. And if I'm in an audition and I come out the room and there's a room full of people, I go, okay, there's two people up in there. One of the guys a little cratchety. The other lady's really nice. I would focus on her. I let everybody know everything because they can't take what's mine and I can't take what's theirs.
Yes.
And maybe I know something because I'm supposed to tell them. Have you ever thought of it? Maybe you're in a position because you're supposed to bless somebody else and it ain't even about you. You just a cog in their machine for a day. And is there anything wrong with that? Be somebody's cog.
That's so awesome. You sit here and you think outside of yourself.
Yeah.
And you consistently seem like you are helping people. Who helped you?
Ooh.
What mentors did
Ooh,
you have
that's good.
Out here that really said, you know what, baby, come here?
Mm, I have many. Robbie Reed.
Casting director.
Casting director.
Yes.
She, and I say this all the time, she and Mara Brockakiel, who created Girlfriends, gave me my first role on a sitcom, and I had no agent. I had no credits. I just gotten dropped by my agent, and they Robbie saw something in me and brought me in and presented me to Mara.
Where did she see you?
I sent a postcard in. I just happened to send a postcard in right when they were looking for Tony's sister. I had no credits. Like, there was no reason she should have brought me in, none at all. And but God, you know, so she mm-hmm. brought me in and I booked that. David E. Talbert is a champion. I did a play called His Woman, His Wife. That was the very first thing I did professionally. Toured for 8 months in that play, and it gave me my first taste of being in front of a audience and seeing the nation. So he's a great supporter. Dan Harmon for Community.
Uh-huh.
Dan Schneider for Drake and Josh. Like, there's a lot of people that saw something in me that they should not have seen in me. Like, I'm looking back at old headshots, like, I don't know why they brought me. I don't know what. You know what I mean? But it, yes. Again, it goes in line with what God has for you. You're going to have, even if you don't have an agent, even if you just got dropped. It's your time. Mm-hmm. So there's really nothing you can do about it. So I try to always give those people and many others that have blessed me their flowers. I believe in giving people their things. And I have never believed that I was magically delicious. You know, mm-hmm. It's God touching someone, going, go on, help Yvette, go on and bring her in. Michael Bivins is another big one. When I was a teenager, I sang for him and he managed me. And that started, the first time I came to LA was because Michael Bivins flew me here for something with the East Coast family. So there's a lot of people that did really great things for me. Yeah.
So basically in that, I hear that you're telling me that you want to start a drag female group.
I do.
A duo.
100%. Me and you?
I'm going to take the high notes.
Do
okay?
it. I'll get the bottom. I'll get in that alto.
I'm first chair soprano. Like,
come on.
Don't make me start singing Jennifer Hudson in the shower.
I would love for you to do it.
Do you sing in the shower?
You know what? I sing more in the car than in the shower. I like to, you know, because of the drought in California, I try to conserve. And I'll be in there and do the 12-minute album cut of I Call Your Name by DeBarge, and then we done wasted all this water. But, so I sing in the car a lot.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to have to ride with you sometime.
Yeah, you're
I'll
ride
just
with
letting
me.
You
some
know
carpool
that
karaoke, yeah.
I love that people from the Midwest and the South, a lot of times we drive.
Yes, we do.
We drive.
Yes, we do.
Now, y'all know we don't always do what we are supposed to do in taking care of ourselves, you know, so that we can live our best lives. And specifically, guys are terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Honey, guys are usually more comfortable, you know, being like, oh, I'm good, than seeing a doctor. Trust me, I'm guilty of it myself. Y'all know I'm a drag queen that does death drops, honey, and sometimes I'm like, ow. But, you know, I'll just put some Epsom salt and some lotion on it. I'll be fine. No. Okay, the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Well, thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient and discreet manner. Getting started is simple, okay? Just go to GetRoman.com/Shangela and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, then you can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Uh-huh. I said free 2-day shipping. So guys, go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, and it's sometimes difficult for people to talk about, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. So for my listeners here at the Shangela Podcast, just go to GetRoman.com/Shangela to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shangela for a free visit to get started. Once again, GetRoman.com/Shangela. Early in your career,
mm-hmm.
and even to this date, even still, you did a lot of commercial work.
I did.
How did you how did you prep yourself or make this transition from doing commercial mm-hmm. work to working in more in television and on-screen projects?
You know what the funny thing is? I didn't know, I still don't know, that there was a stigma attached to, like when I started, you were either a commercial actor or a television actor. There wasn't a lot of crossover. Thankfully, I didn't know that. In my mind, I thought, well, if you're a performer, you can do it all. Also, as a class clown and a bit of a fool, commercials came easy for me because it's really just reactions and your face doing something weird. And so I booked a lot of commercials just by being an idiot in an audition, like making funny faces or whatever, and booked it. And so when it came time to transition, I wasn't aware that I was making a big leap. I just thought, well, I'm going to take this foolishness on over here mm-hmm. you know, and see if they like it over here too. And it worked out that they did, you know. So it was never, I think the biggest advice I would give people is to not put so much weight on this industry. You know, I think that there are more lanes for us than we realize, and there's more opportunities for us than we realize. I just think we box ourselves in. You mm-hmm. know, we hear someone say, I remember years ago someone said to me, voiceovers were difficult. That it was difficult to break in. It was difficult to build a career in it. And, you know, just don't even try that. Like, there's no point. You can't get in there. And I was like, the devil is a lie. Like, in my mind, it's acting. It's acting with your voice, just with your voice. And if you figure out how to make that character, I'll give a little story. The first voiceover I booked was a video game. And she was like a really authoritative woman. And so they gave me the line, and I said the line, and they were patched in from New York, the producers. And they said, well, Yvette, you know, you need to be authoritative. And I said, well, I raised my eyebrow. Oh. Uh-huh. So you got to figure out how to make an eyebrow raise come through your throat.
Uh-huh.
You got to make it sound like you raise an eyebrow. You got to make it sound like you look, you're scared or you look upset. So once that clicks, then it was easy. But had I listened to the people saying, oh, girl, you can't do that, I would never have broken into cartoons. So it was kind of the same thing with commercials. I just was like, and to TV. I'm like, why not? Why can't I be on TV?
Voiceover, commercial, mm-hmm. and television, ever have any like really strange auditions that you were like, well, that was interesting?
I used to get a lot of auditions where there were some of my favorites too, because I love making people uncomfortable when they're wrong. When they do something wrong, I love making them squirm. And I had some auditions in the beginning where they would say, could you be a little more? And I would go, yes. More. And I would go, what do you need? Well, what they wanted to tell me to do was to be more black.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hear my natural speaking voice. Like, we all can code switch. Like, I can be a sister girl if I need to be, but my natural speaking voice is this. So I'd go in and go, hey, try the Tropicana orange juice. Can you? And so when I would say, well, I don't understand what you need. Can you show me? Oh, no, it's okay. What you're doing is fine. I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
So it was more that kind of stuff in the beginning. I got brought in for like an LA marathon audition once, and they wanted me to run throughout. And I politely said, well, this is not for me. This sounds like exercise, I
like
believe.
Around the room?
Yeah, just the whole time in the audition, they wanted us full on, you know, jogging in place. And I was like, yeah, I don't believe in exercise, so I'm going
to
pass on
You were
this.
Like, I ain't got to go to the gym for a week. I'm good.
I don't ever go. I can't do this in here.
Well, yeah. You obviously did something amazing when you went in, not only for all the amazing jobs that you booked, but one of my favorites, Community.
Well, I know why you love it.
Yeah!
Because you guest starred on it.
I did. You know, I was Urbana Champagne,
yes,
the drag queen.
Yes, you were.
That jumped out of a big canister of Hawthorne White.
Do you understand how excited we were to have you on set? And Gillian Jacobs has never been the same.
Oh, my gosh. She was
loved
so
you
sweet.
So much. Like, you don't even know. She
no, it was crazy because I was a fan of all of you guys. And coming in as, like, you know, a novice and just, you know, I knew drag and I had done a couple roles in television, but nothing major, you know? So I come in and I'm like, okay, I want to be professional and I want to, you know, be really sweet and nice. I'm going to be myself and I'm going to do this job. And I walk in and Gillian... Is it Gillian?
Gillian.
Literally
runs.
Mama, she ran.
Do you understand, like, before you came, when she saw that you were coming in on the call, she was like, oh my God, you guys! She loves you. Loves you. Like,
cute.
I can't even.
We're seeing her message today.
Yes,
we're
please,
seeing her
do it.
Tweet
let's
a message
it.
Or something.
Let's do it.
So she comes across and gives me so much love, and I'll never forget being able to record this song that some people even come up to me. They're like, I remember you from Hawthorne because I was like, got my body, got my lips, got a pocket full of Hawthorne. Yes! And on set filming and then watching even your scene when you guys see it on the laptop and you're like, oh, you haven't seen this.
Yes.
And you turn it, you know, and I loved your character, Shirley.
Thank you.
In working on that set, you worked with a lot of characters as well.
Yes.
Chevy. Now, am I saying this right? Is it Chevy or Chevy?
It's Chevy.
Ooh, thank everybody. Take note.
Chevy.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy
okay?
Chase.
Okay. Drove my Chevy to the levee. Now, Chevy Chase, during the scene that I had with him, it required that he fainted.
Mm-hmm.
And he would fall. And girl, I'm talking about he fell.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, all right, we're going to do it again. And this man, and they'd be like, Chevy, you all right? He's like, ready. Mm-hmm. And he failed. I swear to God, that man failed like 20 times.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, somebody going to have to give him a bag of Epsom salt.
No, he's old school Saturday Night Live. Like, that's what they would do. That actually, pratfalls, I think, is one of Chevy's, like, go-to moves. Like, that's his thing. So, yeah, he was excited, I think, to fall 20 times, for sure.
Were there, like, moments on set where you could not stop laughing? Because you're funny, and you got this cast of hilarious yes. people that are probably always between cameras throwing out things. Do you guys, I want to ask you about funny moments on set. Mm-hmm. And also, do you keep in touch with anyone
yes.
from the show?
I keep in touch with just about everybody on the show. Actually, Ken Jung, who played Senior Chang, his birthday, his I won't say his age, but his birthday was last week. I couldn't go to his party, but Gillian went, Allison went, and Jim Rash, who played the Dean, went. I just texted with Danny yesterday. I just saw Donald on the Lion King carpet, and we caught up. Like, we all are, you know, supportive of each other and celebrate each other. Joel's always busy, but whenever I'm able to see him, it's a joy.
He's funny. I've met him a couple times yeah. in doing the soup, but girl, he had got on Michelle Visage's good nerve he was on Drag Race. I don't know.
Well, listen, yes, I did. Joel is acquired taste, but I will say this, he means no harm.
Yes.
So if he ever rubs you the wrong way, he would be the first one to go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He just gets in his comedic mind and he's just throwing out his little stuff and he doesn't realize that it might be landing crazy.
Well, yeah, he
some
was
people.
Recently on Kelly and Ryan.
Yeah.
And I usually am not flipping,
yeah.
you know, I wake up at like 3:30 yeah. in the morning. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I got things to do.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. But I had this on in the background. I saw an interview of him with Ryan Seacrest, mm-hmm. and it was like, it was funny, and then it was uncomfortable, and then
yeah.
it was funny, and then it was uncomfortable again.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan was like, okay, thank you, and now we're on to the next.
You know
next.
What's funny? I think with them, there might be history, not bad history, but just they both were on E, so they've known each other a really long time.
Yes.
So there might have been some inside jokes that Joel was slipping out that Ryan's like, wait a minute. So
yeah,
it could yes. have been something like that. But I do know that Joel never intends to make someone feel awkward or crazy, so you know, if it happens, he's usually very apologetic about it. But yeah.
Y'all thought I was gone, but listen, one more thing that I could not talk to Yvette off mic about. I need to talk to her now on mic with you guys, because I know you may have, she just briefly dropped this in her earlier. Oh, you know, yeah, I saw Donald, you know, on the premiere at the red carpet for The Lion King. No, you don't get to just drop in, choose at The Lion King. I saw you. First of all, let's talk red carpet.
Oh.
You looked gorgeous.
Thank you so much. First of all, I found out about that I was able to go like the night before, and they said it was Sahara chic is what they said. So I was like, okay, or Savannah chic. Sorry, Savannah
what
chic.
What is this, a drag race challenge?
Yeah, it felt like a challenge, and I'm like, well, I know. Well, listen, I know it's Africa, so I need to get something African. Or something that gives off the feeling of the motherland. And I was like, I don't have time to shop. And so thankfully, I had a dress from when I did the show, The Mayor. Our great costume designer, Rita, would always just bring in amazing things. And she always wanted us to have like a little touch of blackness on the show.
Yes.
And so she bought this gown from Kayla Kay, and it was hanging in my closet because I was waiting for the right time to wear this amazing dress. And I looked at it and I said, well, that's it. That's it. So I found me a little wooden looking belt and
yes,
gone
ma'am.
And went on out. And my friend Yvette did my makeup, and it just came together at the last minute. But it was great.
And I love your locks. How long have you been wearing locks?
I got my locks right before Janet Jackson. So it's been about 2 months. I just got them retwisted.
Uh-huh.
Last weekend, Hair by Ash Nicole. I got to give her that shout out because she does a great job.
Hair by Ash
Hair
Nicole,
by Ash
y'all.
Nicole on Instagram. She's awesome. I love this look. Like, I'm like, could I just keep these? Should I just start twisting my own hair and let it just grow into what this is? So easy. I think they euthanize me. I feel
to get it on?
I mean, not kill me,
girl.
But make me younger. making up words, and it actually is a word. But yeah, so I think it makes me feel younger, and I can get up in the morning and just go hit these baby hairs and I'm out the door.
You look beautiful.
Thank you, babe.
How was the film?
Oh, the film was really great. It's out. I don't know when this is going to run, but it's out today as we record. There's a certain scene that is brutal as you imagine when it was a cartoon. It's even harder to see now because it's photorealistic.
Yes.
And you feel that death.
You
feel it. So I'm going to say, if y'all were gutted when Mufasa...
Yes, when y'all yeah. seen the movie.
Y'all
you ain't seen,
you
Lion,
ain't seen
King.
Lion King. Yeah,
girl, y'all
yeah.
know Scar come up there
yeah.
and he gets
yeah,
grabs
calls
him by the
claws. Calls his own brother's death.
Yeah.
It's brutal to see. I thought Donald did a great job. Beyonce did a great job. All of the Alfre Woodard is up in there, and
Yeah, Beyonce got a new has a new video. Spirit. I saw her dance in the dirt barefoot,
honey.
She
was killing it. She was killing it. Had little Blue Ivy with the red coil. Okay, hair.
Thank
I said,
you.
Go on the Blue Ivy, yes.
She said, no, you're going to be in the video.
And you're going to sit right here next to mama and you're going to be part of the pride. Be right part of the pride. But yeah,
speaking of pride. Yes. I've been working so much. It was Pride season.
Yes.
We've been going through having a great time celebrating love and acceptance. One of the shows that has put us in the forefront and allowed us to travel and do so much is RuPaul's Drag Race. You were recently a guest judge on All Stars season 4. You missed me by a year, girl.
I missed
girl.
You by a year.
You could have helped
me. I couldn't have been there, though, because I'd have been too biased. I'd have just, well, I just think Shangela's amazing. We can just end it now. Yeah.
I love you. Yes. Come back, because I might go back. You never know.
I'll go back. Do you know what's funny? I got asked to be a judge for many, many seasons, and I passed every year because I didn't feel worthy. I was like, I'm not fabulous enough to be on there with Rue and those queens. Like I was terrified of not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year when they reached out and I finally was honest, you know, I was like, in a minute, they're going to stop asking me. I just said, I don't feel like I'm not fabulous. And they said, if you don't get, we going to beat you to
Thank
death.
You.
We going to find the right, come on. Come on over and stop playing. And sure, they beat me within an inch of my life.
No, you are done, sister. You are done.
I never looked better. And they, you know, the outfit, everything. And so, and I love that I finally got a chance to be there. And I still felt like when it was time to judge, I'm like, I can't judge these queens.
What Everybody's was your experience so, like? Because I know that as a contestant, being on the stage, first of all, it's long.
Yeah, it is a long shoot.
It's a long experience. And you in the pumps, you like, ooh, baby, come on, just give my tens.
Give my tens
or
get up out of here. Or my ones. I don't care. I just got to get out these shoes. Yes.
But being a judge, and like you said, because, you know, it's hard to judge people.
Yes.
And there's so much emotion involved in the show, too. You see people who, this is, you know, they're fighting to be there, and this is All Stars that have come back to make this statement about returning. This may be their last time on the stage. What was it like in the room? Was it quiet? Was your heart wrenched?
My heart was wrenched. Also, like, I respect drag. Like, I'm a girl, but I'm not a girly girl. Like, I'm a tomboy. So as far as knowing the right way to beat my face or whatever, like, I'm getting better now because I have amazing makeup artists that do my face often. But I don't, it's a level of artistry that I don't have. They create a human being. They decide, I'm going to be this today. I'm going to be a shooting star. And I'm going to have a wig that flies and it's going to light. I don't have that gift. And so for me, to judge those that do felt wrong. It's like me being a judge of a dancing competition. Like, what am I doing there? I don't know what a pot of parade is.
I think you need to point your toe, third toe.
That's what I felt like it would be, me going, well, you know, I just feel like, what? Shut up, Yvette. So instead, I came as a fan to celebrate their artistry. So luckily, I was judging. They had kind of like an acting comedy competition. They were doing the roast of Bunny.
Lady Bunny,
Lady Bunny. So I was able to come and give them advice from an acting perspective, or maybe, you know, tell them advice about nerves and how it's use it as fuel instead of having something that makes you feel crazy. So I did it from that side, but I can't judge the artistry. Like, that was very hard.
See, that episode, I'm black from Paris, Texas, okay? I grew up in the church. I've been to a lot of funerals as well. And to see Monique when she was doing, hey, that was, I don't know if everybody got it, but I died.
I got it. And every time she said, can I get an amen? I was right. I was with her the entire time. And there were so many that were really, really great. And I was surprised at the talent of a lot of them, where I'm like, oh, you really are funny, or you really could make a go of it as an actress. So yeah, it was great. But yeah, I just didn't feel worthy the whole time.
See, thank you for sharing that. I wasn't going to let you out of here
without talking about
Drag Race.
Yes,
okay?
We had to.
Here's a question for you. What are the changes you've made to be more eco-friendly? Is it bringing your own bags to the grocery store? Maybe you started composting. Maybe you decided, you know what? I'm going to put these water bottles in the bin that actually says recycle when I'm done with it. Okay? But how about being conscious about where your clothes come from? Have you thought about that? Well, if you want to, AmorVert is a sustainable clothing brand committed to making versatile and thoughtfully designed clothing that's good for both you and the planet. Like their impossibly soft tees, comfortable dresses, chic jumpsuits, shoes, and accessories, AmorVert has classic and flattering pieces for work and for play. And trust me, honey, they look good. The other day, I got me a box in the mail, right? And I was like, what is this? Did I order something? But I had. It was an AmorVert dress. And when I tell you, when I put that little dress on and I had, you know, tied it as a cute little wrap dress in teal, baby, it felt like butter. And I'm not talking about margarine, honey. I'm talking about butter, okay? Amorvert is also French for green love, and they're working to create a healthier planet for future generations. So I feel fabulous. Not only do I look fabulous, but I'm also helping the planet. And it's nice to know that this company has worked directly with Mills to develop signature fabrics that are soft, beautiful, and durable, and of course, sustainable. So here's the thing. For Shangela listeners right now, Amorvert is offering podcast listeners 15% off your first order when you go to shopgreenlove.com/Shangela. One more time, y'all. That's shopgreenlove.com/Shangela for 15% off your first order. Honey, I'm giving y'all savings. So make sure you go to shopgreenlove.com/Shangela. Honey, you will not be disappointed. It looked good. Well, you created such a moment on that. And then after, it was like 5 or 6 seasons, mm-hmm. right, that the show went.
Yeah.
You made a choice yeah. to leave the show.
I did.
And in working in, you know, I know actors work their entire career sometimes to get a job mm-hmm. on network television, comedy sitcom. This is something you've established. But you had a you have a parent.
Yeah.
Your dad.
Yeah.
Who is dealing with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And you made the choice to leap. Was that a difficult choice?
It wasn't difficult for me. I know that there are some people that are like, how could she leave a TV show? It's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what everybody's relationship is with their parents, but I think that we're supposed to take care of them when they get old. I think
yeah.
that's baked in the sauce, and I don't take that lightly. And I waited until Community got canceled. Community got canceled on NBC. We did 5 seasons. It got canceled. And I thought the show was over. And so we wrapped, like, on a Friday. I remember we did a episode of The Soup with Joel that Saturday, and then I flew to Cleveland on Sunday and started packing my dad up to move him to live with me.
Mm-hmm.
And within that time, like maybe a month after he was back in LA with me, we start hearing these rumblings that Yahoo's going to pick it up. And I got my dad, and on Community, we would do 16-hour days, and you cannot take care of someone with dementia. You can't leave them alone for that amount of time. My dad hadn't been with me long enough for him to feel comfortable being left with someone else. And
right.
I just made the decision that I need to be with my father. So I reached out to Sony and reached out to Dan Harmon and told them the situation. And they were kind enough to release me. And the only blowback I got was from fans, which kind of bummed me out. I was like, hey, guys, I'm not trying to ruin your experience at Greendale Community
right.
College. But I got a sick dad. And then they also were a little upset because after I got released and Community went on, I ended up getting an offer to work on The Odd Couple on CBS. And that's a multicam sitcom with maybe a 20-hour week instead of an 80-hour week.
Mm-hmm.
So I would only be away from my dad for 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day. Some days it's 2 hours. You go for the table reading, you go home. They didn't understand the difference in the time. You know, let's be real. I still got a mortgage. I still got to feed him.
Right.
So I can't stop working, but I just have to work someplace that's more conducive to the lifestyle that I now have, which is full-time caregiver. So that part, having to fight through that with the fans kind of broke my heart a little bit. It's better now. Like, they get
yeah.
it now. You know, they understand it now. But yeah, it was rough for a minute.
Yeah, sometimes it's the information. A lot of people just don't know kind
yeah.
of what the backstory
yeah.
is. But I know that you are so loved.
Aww.
For sure. But I totally get that. And I have my grandma just turned 81.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, because she's up there in years and she fell, she
yeah.
broke her shoulder and her knee.
Yeah.
So she's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Well, we can't be there to provide the round-the-clock care. We didn't want her to have to go to a nursing
yep.
facility. But luckily, my mom and my aunt were able to split the time and
See,
go and help out with her.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And I go when I can. But
mm-hmm.
if it was just me,
mm-hmm.
I would totally have to do that,
yeah.
to take that moment, because she is my grandma. She
That's
helped
right.
to raise me.
She helped raise you. You know, I don't know if in the Black community we really believe in that put them in a home thing. Like, we
Mm-mm.
don't do that. We going to put a ramp on the front of the house.
Hello?
And come on in.
And it's going to be wooden.
It
ain't going to be painted
ain't
either.
Gonna paint it. Ain't going to never be painted. It's going to be rotten after a while, but you come on, roll up on in here. That's how we do it. You know, I don't know any other way. I really don't. And I don't
yeah.
regret it at all. It is the toughest thing I've ever done, but I always say it's the toughest good thing that I've ever done.
Well, you've continued now to be a great advocate
mm-hmm.
in promoting, funding, and research
yeah.
for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Does that bring you a lot of joy?
So much joy. I wish that it didn't take it a disease or something hitting you close to home for most of us become advocates after it affects us. So I wish that I could say that, oh, I was always, you know, But when you know what the person's going through and you're walking the journey, then you get really serious about what no one else should have to go through this. So what can I do to get some funding or to use my, like anytime the Alzheimer's Association calls me for anything, as soon as I see the email, it's an immediate yes. I don't care what they ask of me. It will be a yes. Use my face, use my name. I'll put on the purple sweatshirt and go out in the world. I'll wear the hat. I want
And you know, people. Black people look good in purple.
Really look good. Just regal. Just royal. But you know, I want to do whatever I can to make it better for other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you stay working despite anything. And with it all, you stay working. And I love that. I love seeing you everywhere. You know, Nora on Mom.
What do you know about Nora? Thank
you. Girl, you better be there. But in so many different things, you continue to work. One of those things has led you to be at Comic-Con as well. What is that? I've never been to Comic-Con.
Are you
now, you know, and I love Game of Thrones.
Oh,
that's my nerd piece there. I'm like the ultimate Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But I hear you have to camp out in order to get into the Game of Thrones hall.
It's an experience. Hall H is like the biggest hall at Comic-Con. And that is like, I think it's 7,000 people, something like that. I could be wrong, but I think it's 4,000 to 7,000 people fit in there.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where all the superhero panels are, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. So a lot of people will camp out because maybe they want to go see Walking Dead. But Walking Dead is on Friday at 3:00. Well, you can't get in line at 2:59 to see it. You're
gonna that'll
have
be
to,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Excuse me. My mama's up there. My mama.
They'd be like, Shangela, no. So a lot of people camp out so that they can make sure that they're in Hall H for that particular show or person that they want to see. It's a wall of humanity. Like when you go to San Diego, it's not just at where the convention, where the con is. The entire city becomes Comic-Con. Like every restaurant, every street, it's people in costumes and cosplay. Like it is, it's something to see. I feel like everyone should go at least once. You got to go at least once to see it.
Okay, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've done DragCon, which is kind of a version of Comic-Con in a way. But it, for me, as one of the people from RuPaul's Drag Race, I find myself in one spot for like 9 hours.
That's because everybody's stopping you, right?
Well, no. We each have our own booths.
Oh.
And so people line up and come to our booth. So I literally go into the booth. I'm there at 10 a.m. And I don't get to leave until 6.
So you don't even get to experience it. You don't get to really walk around. And honestly, if you did walk around, you still would be stuck on one spot because Shangela, you wouldn't be able to move anyway.
I want to go shopping, girl.
I know you're gonna have to do it. You're gonna have to do a costume. You're gonna have to put an actual mask on and do another type of drag and walk through there.
There you go.
You can't go as yourself.
Okay, y'all. If you see somebody in an Obama mask, it is not
me. There you go.
Don't stop Obama. Okay, Obama's shopping for wigs and rhinestones and hoes.
Yeah, that's how I feel too when I go to Comic-Con because I can't walk the floor anymore like I used to be able to. And I, you know, I love getting a new Lego set every year. I love getting I'm a fiend about Kermit and Yoda. Like, I feel like you can be a nerd about anything. It's not just Game of Thrones. Comic-Con has every type of nerdy thing. If you went to My Little Pony, it's there.
What?
Anything Disney, some Disney stuff is there. Like, it's anything that people care about and love, anime, all of that stuff. So I used to get a Yoda every year. I would get a new Yoda or I'd get a new Muppet something every year. And so I miss that part of it. So I'm going to have to get an Obama mask, too.
Y'all, somebody stand in line for Yvette. Y'all, get in line
give me
for
a
my
Yoda.
Sister, please.
Somebody give me a new Yoda.
Get this woman a Yoda now.
I've got so many.
In addition to being a nerd, do you like games? Do you like a game night? If you were to come to your house, that's me inviting myself over. What would you do if you were hosting a night? A couple friends over, what happened?
I am such an introvert that I don't think I've ever had a friends thing at my house. I'll go to someone else's, but my house is like where I cocoon. But if I were to become a different person, I would probably have like a little bit of Moscato. I believe it's delicious wine.
That's my favorite.
Isn't it
Riesling
great?
And Moscato.
It's so sweet. I love a sweet wine.
Yes, I could finish a whole bottle of that.
Listen,
just a chill
allegedly
night.
I can too.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So a little Moscato and, you know, right now it probably would be MSNBC on. And it'd be like my political junkie friends.
Yeah, you just kill my buzz, sister.
Oh, I know. It's so rough.
We're going to sit up and watch Rachel Maddow?
I know. We might have to. We got to watch as the world burns and fight it away.
Hallelujah.
Some fire extinguisher. So, yeah, but I do love games. I'm banned from playing Taboo.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't. Everybody has a restraining order.
They took
with
the
Taboo.
Buzzer out of
ooh,
your
they
hand.
Can't do, they, ooh, I have almost, and I'm not joking, come to blows over Taboo. I was at a party, a Christmas New Year's Eve party at Retta's house. In fact, fabulous Retta, and she had a game
night. Yes, treat yourself, Retta.
Treat yourself, Retta, and she had a game night. And I don't think I've been invited to Retta's New Year's Eve since. Oh. But me and Meredith Salinger, who's married to the amazing Patton Oswalt, we were on the same team, and it ain't never been the same. It ain't. People still talking about what we did.
Wait, what happened?
It just, listen, I feel like when you play taboo, you got to be ready.
Right.
And I feel like this is not a game. This is not a game. And if I give you a good clue, damn it, you better answer. Now, you know what I said. You know who I'm talking about. Say the name. Let's move on. So we got really upset.
You and I, we could be partners and heads up. I take it very seriously.
It's not a game, man.
My clues are good.
My clue.
I can get you to 8.
We're going to do that. Next game night, let me know, and I'll come. And
no,
then,
we ain't going to wait for game night.
See,
after this interview,
we're going to do it.
We're going to do one round.
Done.
I can get you to 8.
Done. I'm the same. I'm really good with clues. Really good with clues.
I sometimes cheat because I'll take you, like, if the name is Ben, like, let's say the actor's name is Ben Goldman or something, right? That's my friend Ben Goldman. Hi, Ben.
Hi,
you're
Ben.
Not natural. I love you. Ben Goldman, like, I would say, like, Hedda Rice's uncle.
Uncle Ben.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not silver, but
gold.
And not a woman, but
a man.
There you go. Ben
put it
Goldman.
Together. Put it together. Ben Goldman.
There you go.
See, you like me. That's right. You got to think outside the box.
You do.
You do.
You really do.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't keep you much longer. I have two more questions
for
you. One of those is about your newest project.
Yes.
Now, this is a film that you actually wrote.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you are now not only acting in, but also you are the
executive
producer. Ooh, that's a boss. B O $$. $$, everybody. $.
Yes.
So it's called
Always a Bridesmaid. Yeah, it's a movie, ironically, that I wrote when I was still an office temp. So I wrote it like 20 years ago. Just to pass the time when I was at an office, I'd take my little floppy disk and write my script. And I have a friend of mine, Indy Brown. She has this great company called Tridestine Productions. And they do a lot of they were doing a lot of direct-to-DVD black movies. But now they have a show on BET called Family Business. And they do all these great movies with starring black folk. And she reached out to me like 8 years ago and was like, hey, girl, do you write? I was like, I mean, I used to, sort of. And she was like, do you have anything? I was like, well, I kind of got something. And she said, well, can I read it? So she read it. She was like, can I option it? I'm like, okay. For like $5. She's my friend from junior high. She optioned it for like $5. And then through the years, she would call and go, well, so-and-so's interested. Did anybody else option it? No. And so finally, a year ago, she was like, you know, we got some people interested. We want to make it. Can we make it? And I'm like, yeah. So I redid some things and did a technology upgrade, because when I wrote it, everybody was talking on cordless phones instead of iPhones. So I had to go in and do some of that stuff. And then we cast it in March. We shot it in April, and it'll be out probably in September, October of this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
To hold on, first of all, to have a project that you wrote 20 years ago that is still amazing and relevant today, even with the changes that you had to make and updates, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
How is it? Because, you know, I was in this movie, A Star Is Born.
Yes,
Little old film.
Some lady named Gaga. Too bad she's not successful. Too bad she can't sing and she's not beautiful. Whatever.
Girl, I was born this way, girl.
Whatever.
I was born this way. And watching Bradley Cooper on set, who directed the film as well as starred in it.
Yep.
He would be in the character. Mm-hmm. They would call cut. He would leave. Go behind the camera, make some adjustments, test some things, give some points, fingers, and then get back in. You doing that as an executive producer and as an actor, and I saw a picture of you recently, you sitting behind the camera.
Yeah, with my little hands on.
Yes, professional.
Yes.
How is that transition when you're working behind and in front of the camera? Because you have on a lot of hats at this point.
You know, I kind of like being behind. I first of all, it does not require any Spanx. No makeup, you know.
It's
like voiceover work. I like kind of being like behind the scenes. And it wasn't hard transitioning because we timed it where all of my on-camera stuff was shot in one day.
Mm-hmm.
So for the rest of the, I think we shot for 18 or 19 days. The rest of the days I was there 100% as a producer and a writer. And then on the day when I was performing, they other producers kind of took over that side, and I got to just be a performer that day unless a line needed to be changed. So it wasn't that hard for me. And I just think that's going to be the next place I go, because I don't know anyone that wants to be in Spanx and makeup for the rest of their lives. Like at a certain point, you got to, you know, take the lash off and find another way to express yourself. At least I want to. So I'm excited to see what the next thing is. Like maybe directing, you know, definitely more producing, definitely more writing. I love it.
I know I have a headshot around here.
Do you have
somewhere?
Something? What you
Lord,
got?
Where's my postcard?
Listen, I'll put you right in. Listen, ain't like you ain't got a great resume. You can work with Gaga and Bradley.
You know what? You are just amazingly phenomenal. I have to tell
you
that,
you,
and I'm so thrilled. We have something in common.
What do we have in
common? Now, you are a little more elevated than I am, but I love Janet Jackson. You love,
I love Janet Jackson. I love Janet Jackson so much, you
When
guys.
Did your obsession with Janet Jackson begin?
Good Times. I'm not kidding. I grew
Penny.
Up with, Penny. I grew up with Janet Jackson. She's a little bit older than me, but she was always aspirational. Like, whatever I wanted to do, Janet had already done it. Even have abs. I was like, well, Janet got abs. Now I got to find some abs.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, she just always, and she always looked like me. Like, it's you know, people say representation matters. It really does. It says mm-hmm. something to see someone that looks like they could be your sister or your cousin or your brother or whatever working. And it makes you go, well, I could do that too. Maybe I could do that too. And so, as an actor, she was one of the first. She and Kim Fields were like the two first young people that looked like me that I saw on television. And then when she broke out in music and just was killing it, and she was like the younger kids now have Beyonce. She was our Beyonce. She yes. was our, the old, my mom loved Diana Ross. She was my Diana Ross. Our generation, Janet was everything. Our Tina Turner, all of it. She could dance, she could sing, she could act. She was nice. You know what I mean? She was cute and accessibly cute. Like, as beautiful mm-hmm. as she is, you're like, well, maybe if I put an eyeliner on, I could pull my
Be
hair
Janet.
Back. I
yeah.
might get a little close to that, you know? So it was, she's just everything. And I had never met her. And it's so funny. This is something I want to tell people about dreams and write the vision and make it plain. I literally decided 2 years ago, I think it was like 2017, I was like, it's time for me to meet Janet. Now, I didn't put a time limit on it. I just knew that I had gotten to the point where I felt like, there wouldn't be a restraining order after, and I could control myself. You know, because I love her so much. I was like, I don't want to scare her when I meet her. So I think I'm finally at the place where I could actually have a conversation with her. And then, you know, it took a little while, but thanks to The Real and just putting it out there and all of Janet's amazing people. She's got a great publicist, and Paula and Joey and everyone, and her brother Randy also helped it make it possible, and The Real. So. Mm-hmm. I got to meet her.
How was it meeting Janet Jackson?
Oh, my God, you guys.
Because, you know, I performed this year at the GLAAD Awards for Beyonce.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, you killed it.
And then afterwards, I got to meet Beyonce. They were like, okay,
how was
Jay-Z and Beyonce want to meet you quickly. So it was me, Jennifer Lewis, and Lena Waithe, and they whisked us backstage real
How
quick.
Was that for you? Let's start there. How was that for you?
I remember, well, I was I was standing there actually dressed, you know, as in my Beyonce
mode. Yeah.
Standing in the hotel room. Now, Jay-Z is very low-key, so he was just, like, in a corner hanging out. Beyonce, they had a step-and-repeat set up for her, so there were a couple people in front of me. I'm standing there next to Jay-Z as Beyonce, and I just kind of, it was, like, an awkward size.
Surreal.
He was like, yo, what's up, man? He was, like, so cool, and I was like, hi, Mr. Z.
Jay. Mr. Z!
I didn't know what to say, girl! I meant to say Carter. I said Z.
Mr. Z.
And I was
perfect.
Like, in my head, like, no.
No, it's perfect. I think he loved it.
Yeah, he laughed.
I think he loved it.
And I just made up random combo to like kill. But he was so nice. And then when I walked up to her, they're like, okay, Beyonce's ready to meet you now. And I walked, and I'd known a lot of people on her team, like my friend Raquel's, her makeup artist, and her assistant Caleb. And I'd seen them in concerts so many times. And I had all these great stories I wanted to tell her, but literally walking
up
to her,
it leaves you.
I
it
was
leaves
like,
you.
I love you so much. And I did want to say, like, the generic thing that everyone, you know,
which is,
said,
I love you so,
I love you so much. You mean so much to me. Thank you so much for what you do. That was pretty much.
Listen, let me say this, and I want to make sure I say this. Even though I said, like, you know, the next generation is Beyonce, I love Beyonce too. I also love Diana Ross. Like, I love people that are excellent at what they do. And generation to generation, we each have someone. So I get it. I get it. Now, same. First of all, same. I realized that I had worked so hard to meet Janet that I had not thought about what I was going to say to Janet when I met her. And it was the same thing where I'm kind of waiting and she's coming around the corner, and I knew she would be coming because I knew I'd hear a roar of people excited because she had to walk past a group of fans to get to me. And so I hear the roar and I go, I don't know what I'm going to say to her. I have no idea. So it just literally leaves your brain. So she walked up to me and I just went into the ugly cry. I literally cried on sight.
You cried in front
of
Janet.
I cried as soon as she turned the corner. I went, and she went, oh no. So then she's holding me gently as I weep into her shoulder. And I'm thinking in my mind, this is not what it was supposed to be. But I realized it's like 30 years of maybe 40 years. I don't know how long I've been a fan of just loving her.
Yes.
And she's right here and she's here to meet me. Just like they said, Beyonce's ready to meet you now. Someone that you respect and who's one of your idols is ready to meet you.
Yes, she makes me want to pull up as an entertainer. Like 100%. I go out there and do my thing, but I watch, you know, Homecoming on Netflix and see the energy and the effort and the intelligence and like the business aspect and everything that she does. Yep. I'm like, okay, I ain't doing that. Let me pull up.
Exactly. But that's what every great artist does. They're aspirational. They make you want to be a better blank, whatever the blank is. Nobody, and I'll put Janet and Beyonce in this together. Nobody works harder than them. No one is more cued to what do I want my look to be this time? How is my hair? How am I going to dance? What am I going to wear? Who are my dancers? Who are my singers? Like they both are businesswomen at that level where I'm not slacking and you not slacking.
Right.
But I'm going to do it kind. I've never heard about either one of them that they are. I've always heard that they're gracious, they're kind, that they love their fans.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that about Gaga too. Like that's the connective tissue between the ones that have excelled in this space is that they're hard workers and they're tough on themselves, tough on other people, but they do it with kindness. So I've heard that about Beyonce. I've heard that about Janet. I've heard that about Gaga. And they're all at the top of their game.
Yes.
Top of their game.
Ooh. Okay. So we're gonna have to do us a little Rhythm Nation 5, 6, 7, 8 later.
Me.
Okay.
We'll
I love it. I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast, guys. Y'all have been given a treat today. I'm telling you, Retta has said, treat yourself. We treated y'all.
We treated.
And thank you so much. I wish you all the success and continued work. And please let me know whatever moisturizer that you are currently using because I'm about to moisturize.
It's all this oil. My skin just make oil. That's
what
it is. It's horrible.
Yvette, if they want to keep up with you, because you know I'm all up on your Instagram.
Yes.
I be scrolling through pics and hitting hearts and liking things. Where can we find you?
On Instagram, it's my full name, at Yvette Nicole Brown. Same for Facebook. And on Twitter, it's my initials, at YNB.
Come on, at YNB. You got in there early.
I got in early.
Well, guys, you guys keep listening, and you know we'll have more episodes for you soon. Make sure you rate or subscribe, review, subscribe. Did I say subscribe? Because I meant to say subscribe. I want y'all really to subscribe. Tell a friend, tell your mama, tell your cousin, tell people you don't even like. So if you don't like the podcast and you want to hear something you didn't like, let them know. But I love you guys so much, and thank you for listening. And I hope to chat with you on the next one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.